Okay, so let's finish up this piece about going to the mikveh during the daytime. So we were discussing the possibility of not coming home until nightfall. The Rush, as we pointed out yesterday, quotes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. What exactly Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is actually a machlokes, but the way the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam, "Oy Omer she'ein sarach lachmer kol kach, rak she'titvol samuch l'chashecha, u'balaveisa misha chashecha, v'azak l'mecha sh'srach vita." All you got to do is make sure she doesn't come home until after it gets dark, and then you don't have to worry about Srach Bita anymore. So the question is, does Rabbeinu Tam mean day 7, or does Rabbeinu Tam mean day 8? It happens to be the Rush quotes that the Rashbam disagrees and says, Shalot titbal ad shetech shach, and the Shach even quotes a shita that she can't even leave the house ad shetech shach. But certainly, to allow day 7 just based on that, Rabbeinu Tam seems to be rejected. And the Shach is clear that Rabbeinu Tam is only mikel on day 8, not day 7. Right? The Shach in Sifkat and Vav seems to hold clearly that it's Rabbeinu Tam was talking about day 8, not day 7. If you look at the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, Simon Yud Aleph, he thinks very strongly Rabbeinu Tam was talking about day 7, in fact. So the major machlok is what Rabbeinu Tam even meant. Did he mean day 7 or day 8? However, the Tshuvas Avodas HaGershuni, who is Avodas HaGershuni? Did anyone pick up on that? Like, who he is? Like, where should we, was he a contemporary of, I don't know, Rav Moshe Feinstein? Or was he, no, obviously he's before that, it's called Ben Sitri Tar. Right, so who is the Tshuvas Avodas HaGershuni? So, the Avodas HaGershuni was a Talmud of the Bach, and the Pnei Yeshua. Not the real Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua's grandfather, the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua stole the name of the Sefer from the Zaydi, from the Magine Shlomo. So the Zaydi wrote the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, and the grandson wrote the actual Pnei Yeshua. So from that tekufa, he was the Rav in major Jewish communities. He was Rav of Metz, and he had a lot of back and forth with the Chavos Yoyer and with the Shach, so he was in that tekufa. He was a major player in the fight against Shabtai Tzvi also. So that's the Tshuvas Avodas HaGershuni. All this information courtesy of the Bar Ilan. So that's the Tshuvas Avodas HaGershuni. Good. So says the Avodas HaGershuni, Tzrichananu Leva'er Daito Shel Rabbeinu Tam. We need to understand what is Rabbeinu Tam even saying? Im Daito Shafil, I'm skipping around a little bit. Im Daito Shafil B'yom HaZayin in Lachmir Kol Kach? Should we say that even on day 7 it's okay as long as she comes home after nightfall? Oh, im Daito Shafil B'yom HaZayin, V'mashkos V'shen Lachmir Kol Kach Lahamtin Ad Shetech Shach, Elo Davka B'yom HaChes Al B'yom HaZayin, Humod Ad Rosh Pram She'ni Shalit Pol Ad Shalit Vaday Laila. Or maybe no, maybe he's only talking about day 8. So he says, Re'isi B'Sharei Dura, Simen Chav, Shekasav, the Sharei Dura writes, Yecholi isha litbol samach l'shkiyas hachama kodem shetach shach delek lemechash l'derash holu machshich lavo ayin sham harei mevur desvir leisha afilu b'yom ha-shvi yin lahachmir lahamtin ad shetach shach. Meaning, Shari Dur is explicit that it's day 7. That day 7 you can be mekel. So if Rabbeinu Tam is just saying the same thing as Shari Dura, then Rabbeinu Tam must also be saying day 7. And he writes, Rabbeinu Tam, tarti ka'amar. Sheichol litbol biyom azayin samach chashecha. Dekiven shekasha tashav lebeisa hu laila shuv lo tavli de safek. That since she's not going to be with her husband until nighttime, you're not going to have to worry about shema tira. Is it shema teshamish v'tira v'tistar? V'gam lekol lemechash l'srach mita shetita v'tisbar shima tavla bo liyom gadol. Demargesh sabas b'kach. That you don't have to worry about the daughter thinking anything because the mother's not coming home until nighttime. V'imkeinu kavanas rabbeinu tam. Harim v'vor shabbeinu tam. Shirilei kadas shari dira hanam. So he, the Avodah Zeh Gershuni, is convinced Rabbeinu Tam meant day 7, based on the fact that the Shari Dura said day 7, therefore, you can assume Rabbeinu Tam is conforming to that. And then he says, Re'isi Sheh, he said, Mori Chamizal Bebach. He was the son-in-law of the Bach, or a Talmud of the Bach, the Avodah Zeh Gershuni? No? Anyone else have that? What? Was he both? I don't know. Did he have the Bach and more than one daughter? He had the Taz on it. Impressive. Okay. He says that Bach Shalo, Hetik Divrei, Hatosos v'igia d'lak al-mechash ul'fiya gasa hachi perusha sh'Rabbeinu Tam chodok ha'amar d'shuv lo tavili de safek ratzlomar habas lo tavili de safek d'lak al-mechash. He says it could be that it's not saying two different things. That number one, you don't have to worry about Shema Tira V'Tistar, And number two, you don't have to worry about Srach Bita. But no, it's saying that the daughter's not going to have a suffix. Not that mother's not going to have a suffix of Tira V'tistar plus no Srach Bita. No, the daughter won't have a suffix of what the mother did. But of course it's not going to be Shem V'tira V'tistar because it's day eight. The whole thing is day eight. But he says, L'nias Taiti and Loshna Tos Mechichim Kein. I don't think Tosus is really saying that. I think Tosus is saying what I said, says the Avodah Zarah Shani. Then he says, "Kitzrichan anul modai lefi devrei atur Rabbi Yeruchim shekuli al modim shein lahakel shetitval liisha b'zayin samach hashecha lama machnirin kolkach." He says, according to those that you can't go on day seven, why not? Halo kishalot tavel lebeisat shetach shasulak lemechash l'drab shem shetavel day safek. You don't have to worry about shemitir v'tistar because she's not going to be home. Ve'ein lo maratam hu shehishu cham gzei rasan v'lo plug. He says, don't tell me it's a little plug because we haven't gotten to it yet, but we're going to get to it hopefully today still. Kalos wouldn't be allowed to go on day seven. And everyone allows Kalos to go on day seven. So it's obviously not a little plug. Elinirli al derech taima de milsa. Shechmiru kol kach bezayin afilu makam shein lachas shetavli de takala. Hain mishum shach bita. The whole chumra was about shach bita. That the daughter shouldn't think that the mother went to the mikveh during the day. V'afilu rabbeinu tam t'lesli chashash azu b'yamaches, hani b'shem tav chashash urechoka, shetita habas shnei tu'iyos. And rabbeinu tam, who's not worried about this on day 8, about shach bita, that's because it would be two mistakes. Aleph, shetis parshu yom zayin, that the daughter would have to misidentify what day it was, b'emesu yom ches, and beiz, shalotar gishim matav l'samach l'chashaycha, that she wouldn't chap that the mother went in at a time that was some of chashecha where you don't have to worry about shemitir v'tistar. Avol b'zayin shu chashash krova, but on day 7, which you only have one chashash of srach bita, shelo targa shabbas she imatav l'samu l'chashecha, that means she's not going to misidentify the day. If she accurately identifies the day, it's a problem. The whole problem is she's going to misidentify the time. So then, Gam Rabbi Natamu, the Shiyesh Lachush Lahach Mishalot Vitbal, Afil Samuch Hashaych, Lo Tavu Vesa Shachach, Mishum Shach Bita, Shlo Tita Abbas, Lo Tarkish Bim Shtav Samuch Hashaych. Essentially, what the Avodah Zarah is doing is he's saying the whole thing's about Shach Bita. Everything's about Shach Bita. But there are two levels of Shach Bita. There's Shach Bita, Day Ches, Day 8 Shach Bita, and Day 7 Shach Bita. Day 8 Shach Bita is a much more far fetched concern, and therefore we're going to be much more likely to be Mekel with it. Day 7 Shach Bita is a greater concern. Because even if the daughter correctly identifies the day, if she misidentifies the fact that her mother went dafka samul chashecha, she'll get the wrong impression. We have an often a Gemara that v'makamones, we're not worried about shach bita. That when the concern is Srach Bita, when there's an onus, there's no Srach Bita. Then he says, "Adayin yesh lebal din lachlok v'lomar din lach kal namrin and shein rochosh l'Srach Bita makom onus haynu yichshonus matmid v'ave kagona b'lai v'gandiv tzina." You know, if it's 20 below in Siberia, that's not changing tomorrow or the next day or the day after. So maybe that's the kind of onus that we're talking about. D'ban lach Srach Bita. Because if you're going to be choshev shach bita over there, she'll never be able to go to the mikvah. V'lo so braksiv, and you got to be able to live. You have to be able to have kids. Al kein yichol litvol v'shmini bara yom gadol makamonas. Aval kemo benidon didon, shim tamtun lay l'achad, achas ad lel tes, samach hashecha, yatsu min chashash akrova l'chashash aruchoka. But maybe if you could just wait another day, and you'll get to a more far-fetched chashash, maybe you should be mevatel ona achas and wait until lel tes samach l'chashecha. He says, "Avol zeh ein lefi anias taiti," meaning on day 8 late in the day. Maybe don't do this day 7 late in the day. Wait till day 8 late in the day, and then everyone agrees that you could, you don't have to worry about shach bita makom ones. But maybe you shouldn't rely on makom ones when the ones is something that's not doesn't have to be there forever and prevent you from forever. He says, "Avol zeh ein lefi anias taiti." Because Velotechus l'shachbita. Shishko on the eighth day rather than on night 10. Velotevatel anachas. Ki bitel anachas mikri gam kenonis. So essentially, what's he telling us? That while there are versions of Rabbeinu Tam that say he only allows for this biyom ches, not biyom zayin, it's far more likely in the view of the Avodah Sagrashuni that he meant to biyom zayin. And the concern of Shema, Tishamish, Vetir, Vetistar is certainly solved by coming home late, and that Rabbeinu Tam is perfectly comfortable with. And the only issue left is Srach Bita. But there are just two levels of Srach Bita. But Srach Bita were willing to be Mekel B'makomones, if there are lions or bandits or gatekeepers or whatever. So extreme circumstances, he could be Mekel on day 7. And he then tries to demonstrate that the onus doesn't have to be, you know, be a constant and ongoing onus. So if we accept the Avodah Sagrashuni, it helps, but it doesn't solve it, right? Because what's the most common case where a woman's going to want to go during the day on day 7? The Tzarev Shabbos, right? And why does she need to go during the day? Why can't she go Friday night? Because the mikveh is 15 miles away, right? The mikveh is very far away. So she's got to go during the day. She can't go during the night. Well, what are you going to tell her? So she can't come back home, though. The Avodah Sagrashuni says you can't come back home until nightfall. So it doesn't help her. She can't come back home. So what are her options? So there's a Chuvus Chasam Sofer Chelik Beis Yerodea, Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Chelik Beis of Chasam Sofer is Yerodea. That's the Chelik of Yerodea. Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin, where he writes, Achal Kolpanim Nirali Shetishi Isha Bahalicha Mimikvah Lebeis Adalayla. So he says, let her wander the streets, meaning come back to the town where she lives. So let's say she lives 15 miles away from the mikvah, drive her car back into town, park the car before Shkia, and walk around the streets, take a walk, for an hour. Or 45 minutes or whatever, and then come home after Chashecha. So at least she won't. Why does she have to walk in the streets? Can't she just go to her friend's house? Says Chasam Sofer, no. Absolutely can't go to the friend's house. It doesn't help to go to the friend's house. He says, if you can't go to the bias, it doesn't matter if it's this bias or another bias. Rav Moshe thinks that the proper reading of Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam's Mekel on Yom Zayin. And then Rav Moshe writes, since I'm right about Rabbeinu Tam, that it's Yom Zayin, the kivan she Rabbeinu Tam mati after Zayin litval samach chashecha v'tavul beis mishetach shach v'chein savri atayis nida shalo yivir klal shitas Rashbam. The Tosos doesn't quote Rashbam, the Rosh quotes Rashbam. U'mashma shah Rosh sover k'Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rosh I think also says like Rabbeinu Tam. How do I know that? Midenakad rak shah Rashbam machmir. He doesn't say the Rashbam oser and that it's a machlokas, the whole machlok is only whether it's ra'ui lahachmir. It's a diuk. He says that the Rashbam machmir as opposed to the Rashbam oser, so then it's a suffik in halacha. Rashbam machmir means it's a suffik in chumrah. I wonder if that diuk carries through every time you have Rishonim quote Shitas Rishonim like that. Okay, that's something to look into. So v'nimtza shamachlok is urakli nimroi lahachmir v'lo masur mamish. So the whole issue is about that, whether it's ra'ui lahachmir. So even if the Rashbam would have asked it, but even then it's only Nisr Drabanan. Even by Yizavim Mamish, it's only Nisr Drabanan, because it's only Shifra Shematira Vitistar. And certainly our case, where she's not really a Zava, it's a Chumra of Rabbi Zeira. So in a Drabanan, you'd go Lukula. So at worst, he says, Machlok Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam is a Safek, and it's definitely a Safek Drabanan. At worst, it's a Safek. He's not even convinced that it's a Safek. Even if we generally lean toward chumra, not on this, not on something that is a machlokas about a chumra. And he says, I think the Bach is passing like Rabbeinu Tam, and the Aruch Shulchan brings two rayas that the Rosh holds like Rabbeinu Tam, and he goes on and on. He says, "Av Mashi Yesh Lodin B'Davar Hashihi Ad Shetavul Beisa." Then he gets into Chasam Sofer. That what happens on a weekday if there's an onus where she can't be Tavul B'Layla, so she's Tavul B'Samucha Efshar, and she'll stay in the car until nighttime. But Rov Ha'onsin, says Rav Moshe, is a problem. Rov Ha'onsin are B'Shabz Yomtiv, where she needs to come by Zman Adakas Neiros, and even if the husband will light the candles for her, she can't be in the car because it's a chashad. Was she going to stay in the car? It's interesting. I assume there are other problems also, like opening the door is muktzah. Like there have all sorts of problems. She can't be in the car. We have to be choshish chol Shabbos. So he says this is Ramesh's wafer of a chiddush. This is where he goes beyond where the Chassam Sofer was willing to go, beyond where the Avodah Segar Shuni was willing to go. This is where what was Rabbi Forst Lashon? Difficult to sustain, right? So this is where Ramesha goes. That if the husband goes to Shul a little bit before Avodah Segar Shuni, so take off the Zman Avodah Segar Shuni. The Av Shekas of Chassam Sofer, Deinu Moel Mashatei Chubes Chavirta, says Ramesha, yeah, it doesn't help to go to her friend's house because her husband's going to know that she's at her friend's house and she may run into her husband. Her husband may be hanging out with the friend's husband. So it's not going to be good enough to go to the friend's house. But if the husband's going to shul, he can't find her because he's in shul. What? Ramosha's assuming, once you're in shul, you're not going to leave. And no one walks out of shul in the middle. So, that, right, that never happens. One of the most embarrassing things that ever happened in my entire life was when Rav Shechter was at my shul for a Shabbos, and during the Haftorah, like, a bunch of people just walked out, and he said, where is everybody going? And, you know, people needed a break. You know, it was a longer davening than they were used to because we were waiting for Rav Shechter, you know, so it was, you know, people needed a break. But Rav Moshe can't imagine. Who takes a break in the middle of davening? So he's stuck in shul, so there's nothing he could do, so he's not going to... So by the time he gets home, it's going to be much later. You don't have to worry about it. So essentially, Moshe tells us a number of important things. First of all, the Rush and the Bach and even the Tour really hold like Rabbeinu Tam according to Moshe, because he quotes Rabbeinu Tam last. And the Aruch HaShulchan brings two proofs for Rabbeinu Tam. The entire machlok is only about whether it's best to be Machmir. Second of all, even if the Rashbam was genuinely Machmir, which Moshe is skeptical about, the entire issue is only Drabbanan, even if they were real Zavos. And they're not even that. It's only Chumrat Rabbi Zeir. Third, right? Third is our women are only suffix levels. Fourth, coming back in a car after candlelighting time is not an option, so the husband should leave the house before candlelighting. And then, even the Chassam Sofer, who thought going to a friend's house isn't good enough, would be okay with him going to shul because there's no way he would leave early, and we're not close, he'll go out of his way to find her. His entire concern is that they might run into each other at the friend's house, and not going to run into each other while he's at shul. And then finally, says Ramosha, even if, and this is where he takes it that extra step beyond the, you know, beyond the great leap, beyond the Chassam Sofer, he takes another great leap. What's his other great leap? Even if they will be in the same house, but they have children, I'm not worried. Because there's not going to be yichud. Little kids, lots of company, even in nighttime hours nowadays. The world doesn't shut down when, you know, at dark, you know, so or at Shkia certainly. So even if they would be in the same house, certainly in before Tzeis HaKochavim, it's not going to be a problem. It happens to be that there's a tshuva in Sholem Meshev who says the same thing with two important words that he adds on to the tshuva. Sholem Meshev Madura Kamachelik Aleph Simen Zayin. Madura Kamachelik Aleph Simen Zayin says Lulei Demistafina. I would say that as long as they don't have yichud, it's okay. That's how the Sholem Meshev says. Rav Moshe was not mistafina. In Shevet HaLevi, Rav Azim totally rejects these kulas. This comes up. We had a situation I'll just give you some of the cases where this has come up, and just we should appreciate the seriousness of the shaila. It should not be taken lightly. And this is one of the things I was. When we did that shiur about psak, you know, about how sometimes you hear about a kula and you think, oh, there's a kula out there, so everyone could just use the kula. We have to be very, very careful about that, especially with something like this. It's a real serious issue. You have to realize what a gigantic chiddush Ramesh is, even if you're going to rely on him, you have to realize. So I'll give you a couple of cases where this has come up. One case was when Hurricane Sandy happened, the Oceanside mikveh was destroyed. So it's now been rebuilt and it's fine, but at the time the Oceanside mikveh was destroyed. So the people in Oceanside in Long Island had to go to the Woodmere mikveh, the basement of the house, you know, the longer time. So they had to use that mikveh because it wasn't overstressed enough. But anyway, the Oceanside is like 6 miles from Woodmere. And it was October, November, you know, it wasn't, you know, nice walking by there. And all the roads were flooded and there were tree branches everywhere. So what do the women do in Oceanside if they have to go to the mikvah on Friday night? So at the time, Rabbi Muscat, if I'm not mistaken, called up Rabbi Sablovsky and asked the Shaila, and Rabbi Sablovsky is willing to be Mekelech Ramesha. Tell the women to go to the mikvah in Woodmere, we'll get the Woodmere mikvah open, have the husbands go to shul early, and that's good enough. Rabbi Yonatan, I'm willing to rely on it. Would Rabbi Willick have been Mekel? No way. No way. For a one-day difference, you go Motzei Shabbos. No way. But Rabbi Sablovsky was Mekel in that case. Another case, I had a young couple, a newly married couple. The first time she had to go to the mikveh after they were married, meaning after Dan Besulim and she got a period, everything was timed right, except her Lel Tevila was on Friday night, and they had a weekend bar mitzvah in his family at a hotel for that Shabbos. So the weekend bar mitzvah was in the Woodcliff Lake Hilton. Anyone ever been? So the Woodcliff Lake Hilton is 3 miles away from the Chabad. What?
It's called Lake.
No, not when you go. It's 3 miles away from the Chabad, but the Chabad doesn't have a mikvah. Its closest mikvah is Tinek, which is also 6-7 miles away. And young couple, right? So, and the first time she's supposed to go to the mikvah. My wife always tells Kalas when these kinds of things happen, good, you get your Friday night tefillah out of the way early so that you'll, you get past the trauma early. I don't know if it works, but that's her angle. So in that case also, if I recall correctly, I called Rabbi Sobolovsky at the time and asked him if he'd be willing to open up the Tinek Mikvah. I thought for a young couple like this, and they really wanted to, so he went to the room where they were daven, she went to the mikvah, came back to the hotel room, and they didn't see each other till the Suda started. And that was, but again, it's if you're relying on Rav Moshe. This past Pesach, I got a call from a guy, not a call, an email from a guy who was in Morocco for Pesach. I think it was Morocco, somewhere like that. And they were about a 4-hour car drive from the closest mikvah. And her Lel Tevila was the first night of the last days of Pesach. So the email read, Dear Rabbi, my wife's supposed to go to the mikvah first, on the seventh night of Pesach. The close mikvah is a 4-hour or 3-hour car drive away in Morocco. can she just use a swimming pool? That's what the email said. Now, it's important to be medayik in every word in the email, right? Meaning, normally you have a taiva to just ignore that last line. Can she just use a swimming pool? But that line tells you a lot. What does that line tell you?
Don't know much what's going on.
Right. Meaning, it tells you the kind of people you're dealing with. People who might just try to use a swimming pool instead of a mikvah. I mean, people who are very, so in such a case, you're going to want to try to come up with a kula, if you can, because you're dealing, obviously not dealing with people who are on the highest level of limud. So at the time I asked Rav Schechter, so first I said, okay, I'm going to, on my own, I'm going to be willing. I didn't even know that Rabbi Willig was so Eishlav against it at the time. I only knew from Ramesha and the Poskim generally, Rabbi Sablovsky and whatever. So anyway, I said, okay, just have her go during the day, and when she gets home, don't be around when she gets back to the hotel, and you'll see each other at night. He's like, you think I'm letting my wife drive 3 hours each direction in Morocco on her own? No way. We were hoping to make a day of it, bring our kids, and make a day of it in that city, and we drop off my wife. The kids don't have to know what she's being dropped off for, or whatever, they have little kids. And that's it, we'll spend the rest of the day, we'll spend a couple of hours there, and then we'll come back. So I asked Rav Schechter what he thought. He said,
part of
the,
what?
So Rav Schechter said, like Ramesha, that if she doesn't have yichud, if they don't have yichud together, if the children are around the whole time, he's willing to be mekel. So he was willing to be Mekel, not only Ramesh's original jump beyond the Chasam Sofer, Rav Schechter was willing to be Mekel in the jump beyond the jump, right? In just saying that they won't have Yichud. Another situation, in Florida once, there was a hurricane threat, and they were going to close the mikvahs on Friday night, meaning no one was allowed to leave the house at night. So what do you do in terms of mikvah? So at the time, I remember this caused Agmas Nefesh, because the Shaila should go to the Rabbanim of the community. There was a Yoetzet who got involved. A woman asked the Yoetzet on the hotline or something, and the Yoetzet said, "Oh, don't worry, you have Ramesh, just go to the mikveh during the, you know, during the day, and it should be fine." So I remember the Rabbanim at the time were not particularly pleased that that happened. Meaning, this is a serious Shaila. So, like, I remember when we spoke to Rabbi Alman. Rabbi Alman is in charge of the Yoetzet program in America. He said that should never, ever happen. Meaning, that a Yoetzet is going to paskin something of that magnitude, you know, for a community that she doesn't even live in, and like, that should have never happened. So that was a mistake. That should, I mean, people should appreciate that this is a real Shaila. This is not like, you know, oh, there's a kula out there, so we'll use the kula. It's a real, real shaila. Someone raised the issue that in certain communities, there are many women who are very careful about Taras HaMishpacha and not at all careful about Shabbos. So they'll drive to the mikvah on Shabbos. So is it, should we be mekel to let them go during the day in order to avoid Chil Shabbos? So that's already more complicated, right? Meaning, that's already, even if you're going to be making like Ramesha, but to institutionalize it and say, yeah, the mikvah sort of Willig was like, no way, chas v'shalom lakel. He's like, that's like being making that a single girl could go to the mikvah. Because anyway, she's going to be promiscuous. So he thought, chas v'shalom, he said, we have a big kula, we open up our mikvah 20 minutes after Shkia. So let her go then, and maybe she'll only drive during Ben HaShemashos, according to some deos. But he thought, chas v'shalom lahakel. He made a rule in Riverdale, you need two signatures of Rabbanim to allow a daytime tevila, because he felt that each time rabbis are being pressured, you have that a lot. You know, they'll get the call, but in Tinek they allow it, and here they'll allow it, in New Rochelle they allow it, and this one, that. So Rabbi Willig says, go to Tinek, go to New Rochelle, Titbol Ba'aretz Yisrael, Ba'aretz Yisrael, you know, whatever. But he has the shtults to stand up to that, so they made a rule that, because not every rabbi has the, that you need two of the local rabbis before the mikveh could be open. Yeah, no one. And the daughter sees that she's coming back to the house. That seems to be a real Srachbita. But Makamonas from Meklan Srachbita. Right? So he's only worried about the Chashash and the Tiratista. Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, but Ramesh is Mekel in dire circumstances.
He's just extended.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It has to be to save you from Yichud. Yeah, it can't be a sleeping infant, right? It's got to be chosen out to save you. That'll actually provide something to Yichud. I do want to get to Kala, so let's discuss Kala for a few minutes over here. The Rama in Sif Gimel says, "Va'kalos hatovos kodem achupa." Kala goes to the mikvah before the chupa. Yicholos litbol biyom da'alo bayin eitzal achasen ad alayla. They're not going to be with the chas until nighttime. Once they had a chuppah, now even if the chuppah was in the morning, they can't go to the mikvah during the day, on the seventh day, because then they're just a regular married woman. So the Shach in Sivkat and Tess says that this is talking about Lididon, Shachalos Einan Tovlos Bezayin. Al Mokum Shachalos Tovlos Bezayin, O Lididon, Emir Let Tefila Bezayin, Kigon Shen Skalkal Abime Svirasa. Does Tovelus Miyad Yachar Zayin, Eini Yichol Litbol Biyom, Tovyom Zayin Mitzri, Mishum Shematir Vitistor, Kol Mashal Mefreya, Vinimtsis of Lemefreya. So the Shach says Tvil Biyom Zayin never works, not even for a Kala. He denies the whole thing, can't do Tvil Biyom Zayin. Kala, when the Ramah says, Kala goes to the mikvah on day 8, not on day 7. So yeah, Kalas go during the day. We always try to arrange a time for a Kala where it should be comfortable, and she has a special appointment, and you know, it's nice, and hopefully it's had a nice mikvah, and you know, it should feel like a nurturing experience for her. It shouldn't feel like, you know, she's with a bunch of, you know, I don't know, women who are 15, 20 years her senior, who've done this 1,000 times, and are like, you know, it shouldn't be like that kind of experience for her. So, you know, that's what we do. But not on day 7, on day 8. However, the Dagum Ravava, which is quoted by the Pesach Chuv and Sifkat Nyud, writes, Udvar Tzorchiv, 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 Mishum Shein Mavino Seitz Al Chasan. The whole heter is that she's not going to be with the Chasan. Im Kain, E. Efshar Lava Levi Ilas Zava. So it's not going to happen that there will be a Bila Zava. And that's the whole problem of day 7. V'aval v'keim lo malu libo shalom minchus Yaakov lachlo kalashach av shehirgish gamkein ba'azhagazu u'mikol makom b'shasad chak nir l'nistayti lahakel. Says Dog Mubava, I would be making b'shasad chak. Aval ba'ofen shalom yamidu ha'chupa ad seso kochavim mamish. With a caveat. You can't have the chupa until seso kochavim mamish. Aval ha'men ha'chupa b'yom l'smach she'in miyachdim osan ad ha'layla lo mahani b'sa. But to do the chuppah when it's od yom, and you know, by the time they dance them all the way back to the yichud room, you know, some of these halls, the yichud room is like in a different zip code than the chuppah, and the chevra is not in any rush to, you know, Rosh Hashanah always points out that the lashon shulchan aruch, when he says shulchan aruch, he means the nesakim, that meritz in esachas and esakala, right? They run the chasen and the kala to the yichud room, so we don't do that so much anymore. take him slowly. And the girls are dancing, and the boys are whatever. By the time they bring him back to the yichud room, so then by then it's going to be says not be nothing doing. He allows tevila biyom zayin chuppas. We have says chav, not good enough to have yichud after says. However, in a tshuva addressing whether there's such a minug to never have kiddushin at night, which is a totally different topic, Kivager is a tshuva about is there such a minhag to always do kiddushin during the daytime? That's what the topic of the tshuva is. And he strongly rejects the idea that there's such a minhag. And he shows that there are many, many places where we assume that kiddushin can be done at night, even though we generally don't allow a get at night, right? But we'll kiddushin at night. They say Rav Henkin Zichron Levracha used to only do getin at night. Because Rav Henkin Zichron Levracha worked for Ezra's Torah all day. And he was the biggest expert in getting. So if you wanted to get done by the biggest expert, you had to wait till night when his day job was over. So he only did getting at night. But typically, there's a chumrah not to do getting at night. Even though I think minhag now is whenever you can get a guy to do a get, you just do it. You don't ask any questions, you just do it. But Rabbi Kiveg writes in that tshuva, in Madura Tinyana, Simen Ayin Aleph, Ach shalo b'shas hachak ro'i v'nachon, Lekadish biyom lachus shosfeket areimanal v'minak yir b'shvil tvilas hakala kvar eskimu b'shut avodus agershuni b'shut panemi iros b'tveres l'moshav arachmish v'sidritara d'muteres litbol biyom zayin achar ad eitzachama d'lo kashach mikol makom v'minak yir b'shvil atvila nira t'kibla aleim lahachmer kadas hashach ein l'shalmas min hagam d'lagar midvar mutar. He says the kiddushin b'layla is not kapeda at all. He seems to be assuming that if they did the tvila biyom, they would also do the chuppah biyom. Right? That seems to be his assumption in the whole tshuva. Presumably, leaving the yichud until laila. Something's got to be a laila. Meaning, you can't allow them to risk tashmish. But what risks tashmish? The chuppah doesn't risk tashmish. Yichud risks tashmish. I had a situation years ago. I was teaching chassan. It was one of the first chassan I ever taught. It's quite a traumatizing situation. The guy was talking to the kala about a week before the wedding. I may have told you this story already, but this is where it's relevant. Wherever I told you in the past, it was not relevant. The guy was talking to his kala about a week before the wedding, and he said to her, how's your Shiva Nikim going? Because, you know, Chassan and Kala sometimes talk about these things. And she said, Shiva what? And he's like, aha. And she's like, no, I really don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, you took kala class, and she's like, yeah, well, I don't remember. Like, and it turned out she wasn't doing Shiva Nikiyam. She wasn't bleeding. She was planning on going to the mikveh 3 days later. She just said, didn't do Havzik Tahara, didn't do anything. It was, so right away, you know, she called me up. I'm like, just tell her to do Havzik Tahara now, right? Like, okay, let's got the kala teacher on the phone, speak to her, Rachel Bitcha Katana, you know, very, very carefully. Tell her exactly what to do. Good, she did her Havzik Tahara. Day 7 was the day of the wedding. Right? So she's going to ideally go to the mikvah on day 7. The wedding was in June. Shkia in June is about 8:30. So the wedding was called for 6 o'clock. So what do you do? So I was not in the Seder Kiddushin.
Is he Svardi?
He is not Svardi. Rav Naftali Yeager was in the Seder Kiddushin. Shiva Shoyashuv, and Rav Yeager passing like the Dagum Mavad, not like Rav Yeager. So Rav Yeager paskind, let her go to the mikvah during the day, the chuppah will not start until Tzeis HaKochav. How does the Dogma of Rava say? Tzeis HaKochav Vadai. Right? So Rabbi Yeager said the chuppah will start 50 minutes after Shkia. So the chuppah starts at 9:20. At the time I asked Rav Schechter, what would you do? Like in that situation. He said, I would tell them not to be in the Yichud room until 25 minutes after Shkia. Which would mean that you only don't have to get to the Yichud room until 8:55. But the chuppah could start like an hour before that. You know, you hold the drush under the chuppah, you know. And you have to realize a 6 o'clock wedding, everyone's already sitting by the chuppah waiting for it to start at 7:30, 7:15. And the chuppah couldn't start until 9:20. So I was sitting, I knew what was going on. Nobody else did. And like people were like talking like, oh my gosh, do you think someone got sick? Do you think she ran away? Do you think like people were guessing all sorts of possibilities. It was mamish. I mean, thank God they're happy. They live, you know, they have children, and they, you know, it doesn't hurt you long term. But like, you know, but in terms of that night, but it was a good shemesh for me because I got to learn that Rav Yeager holds like the double mevava, and that Rav Shechter is willing to be somech on Rav Kiva Yeager and hold that seisa chav mamish. You know, for Rav Kiva Yeager is 25 minutes after shkia, which is pretty, you know, in June, which is, you know, it's pretty early to allow that at that point. If it was a Sephardi, you'd have more room to work with because they don't have a Yichud room, so they could just hold the whole wedding if you hold the Rabbi Kivayim.
Would you treat in that situation, the Chuppah as a
Chuppah Sinida? No, she's not a Nida anymore.
Really, like, even because it's not...
Meaning in terms of what? In terms of like passing the ring? Yeah, many poskim are maker on that anyway. There are many that's a machlok of poskim anyway because she's not yet your wife until you pass the ring. So many poskim are maker on that anyway. Yeah, so you'd probably be maker on that. I would think that you'd be maker. She's not an Ida. She's Tahora at that point. You could take the touching pictures technically. I mean, whatever. But you know, she's not an Ida anymore. So
okay.
Yeah. That's a good question. I wasn't even thinking. That's a good etza. Maybe just make sure don't have yichud. You know, treat it like chuppah nida in that way. Make sure that they avoid yichud. No, they're married. Everything worked out. Okay, Bez Hashem on Sunday we will start Kuf Tzadi Ches. That's the plan. Have a great day. Great Shabbos, everybody.